So Ephesians chapter 6, the verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We want to speak on the subject this morning, if you haven't already guessed, on prayer. Prayer. I have to confess to you that prayer is perhaps one of the most difficult topics for me to preach upon, because I find it a difficult subject for me to understand and to practice. I feel almost somewhat of a hypocrite when I speak upon this subject, because, well, personal praying seems to be such a difficult thing, difficult task. On the one hand, I know that the only reason that God has enabled me to persevere as a pastor for almost 30 years is because of the prayers of God's people. And through my own desperate cries for help, there's hardly a week that goes by without feeling somewhat overwhelmed by the task that's set before me. And I know that were it not for prayer, that I would not be able to endure it at all. And yet, on the other hand, I know that the longer that I go on as a Christian, the more acutely aware I become of my own shortcomings in prayer. Reading recently from Martin Lloyd-Jones on the subject of prayer, and he said that prayer should be the delight for every believer. And I stopped when I read that, and while, yes, there is delight in prayer, but doesn't mean that it's not difficult or oftentimes frustrating. And sometimes you find it hard even to find the time or the occasion to pray in the way that we want. And Lloyd-Jones went on to say that we should devote much time to prayer. And yet I think of it, just how difficult it is to pray for long periods of time without our minds wandering off into the plans that we have for the rest of the day, or the things that are happening throughout the week, or we run out of things to say altogether. And I share this with you because I don't want you to think that as I preach on the subject of prayer that I somehow have got it all together and I'm lecturing you as to how you should be good like me. I'm a fellow struggler with you in this wonderful subject. So I want you to know that I'm preaching first of all to myself before I preach to you. But we are going to preach on the subject, we are going to address it, and if it confronts us and challenges us, then all the better for that. And I trust that we will become increasingly more and more a praying people. Now look at verse 18 of Ephesians 6 once again, please. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. My outline this morning is very simple. I'm simply going to take the word all, as Paul uses it, and combine it with praying in the Spirit, and that will be our outline this morning. So, looking at our text, the first thing we see is all prayer. Literally, all kinds of prayer. All prayer and supplication. So that's where we're going to start this morning. What do we mean by prayer and supplication? Well, let me say, first of all, that prayer is communion with God. At its very basic form, prayer is about talking to and speaking to God. Martin Luther, the great Reformer, said that to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. He considered prayer to be the basis of our communication with God. It's how we build our relationship with Him. Can you imagine a relationship where the two parties don't actually speak together or with one another? It just wouldn't work. A relationship isn't just one magical moment. It involves a regular communication and frequent expressions of love. Well, prayer is part of our relationship with God. And if God is a complete stranger to us, and the only time that we want to talk to him is when we want something from him, then that's not a good basis for an ongoing relationship. True prayer is about having a conversation with God, and not just telling him the things that we want, but having a real conversation in which we not only talk to God, but we listen to him as we read his word, as he speaks to us from the Bible. It's a desire to get to know God more and more and to grow closer and closer to him. Have you ever seen a young couple in love? A young couple in love. They can spend hours just talking to each other, learning about each other, their likes, their dislikes, discussing their dreams, their ambitions for the future. In prayer, the Christian is seeking a living, loving relationship with God. And when we think of who God is, the most powerful, the most amazing, the most beautiful, the most personal being that exists, and he desires to be in a relationship with us, is anything then more important than spending time with him in prayer? As we get to know him and learn about him and who he is and his ways and his thoughts and his words. So first and foremost, prayer is communication with God. It's the basis of our relationship to him now that we've been saved by grace. Our praying then can take on a number of different forms. Sometimes we advocate the little mnemonic acts where we split up our prayer into A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication. It's a helpful little tool when it comes to praying. It means we can cover a wide range of subjects. And when we pray along those lines, then we have many things with which to talk to the Lord about. There are other ways that we can pray, of course. I was asked recently if I ever pray the Lord's Prayer. As a prayer just on its own, not very often. But as a prayer that's a basis for all my other praying, yes, all the time. You see, when you pray through the Lord's Prayer, it's not a matter of simply reciting it and moving on. It's using that prayer as the basis of all of our prayers. It introduces us to worshiping God, our Father, which art in heaven. It leads us on to adoration. Hallowed be thy name. Then we can pray evangelistically when we start to pray for thy kingdom come. We can pray for the work of our churches and our missionaries and those who are engaged in the matters of the gospel. It's a prayer of submission when we pray thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We can use it as the basis of praying for our personal needs. Give us this day our daily bread. We can also confess before the Lord our shortcomings, our faults and our sins. When we ask him to forgive us our debts, we can pray for our relationships with one another. We pray as we forgive our debtors. We can pray for his discipling hand upon us to shape and mold us in our day-to-day life so that we may be more like our Savior. When we ask him to lead us not into temptation, we pray for our sanctification. When we ask him to deliver us from evil. And then we dedicate ourselves to him because we know that his is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. You can take the Lord's Prayer, and as you pray each of those petitions, you can expand upon them. And instead of being a prayer that lasts only a few lines, you can cover a wide range of subjects before the Lord. Not just the Lord's Prayer, you can do the same thing in the book of Psalms. Many of the Psalms are prayers. Cover all of the experiences of life. You can read through the Psalms and you can make then your prayer before the Lord. You've got the prayers of Paul. So the prayers are there to help us to seek the Lord, to communicate with him, to bring our needs and our worship and our submission and all of the areas of our Christian life unto the Lord and to meet with him at the place of prayer. So we're to pray with all prayer and supplication. Now the next all, we go back to the start of the verse, it's praying always, or literally at all times. You're probably thinking to yourself, Paul, you have to be realistic. How can we pray at all times? I've got work to do. I have to make a living. I have to go to school. How can I pray at all times? Well, this is a little phrase that's found throughout the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul says again, pray without ceasing. Does he really mean that 24 hours of every day that we are to be praying continually, prayers coming at every moment? I think the phrase means more literally to pray at every opportunity. You might picture someone with a persistent cough. It's not that they're coughing every second, but they're coughing repeatedly and they're coughing oft. And they never go very long without coughing again. That's the same way we should be when we're praying. We should be praying repeatedly. We should be praying oft. To pray at every opportunity. So we're going to obey this exhortation. Let me give you a couple of examples. You find yourself being tempted towards some sin. We bring the temptation before the Lord and we ask for his help to overcome it. When we experience something good throughout the course of our day, something beautiful, we immediately thank the Lord for it. If you see some great act of evil being perpetrated before you, we pray for God to make it right and be willing to be used by him to be his agent in that field. When we meet someone who doesn't know the Savior, we can be praying that the Lord would draw that person to himself and perhaps even use us as his faithful witness. When we encounter trouble, we turn to God as our great deliverer. In other words, everything and every part of our life, there's time for prayer, continuous communing with our Heavenly Father. I came across this little story, I thought I'd share it with you. It was a group of Christian friends that were discussing this very subject of how we can pray without ceasing. And as the group had made their discussion, there was one lady who came and spoke at the very end, and she says, this is what I do. She says, in the morning when I open my eyes, I pray, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding, that I may behold the wondrous things that are in thy law. And when I start to get myself ready and I go to wash, I pray, Lord, may I be washed in the fountain that's been opened for sin and uncleanness. And when I start to get dressed, I pray, Lord, may I be clothed in the robe of thy righteousness and adorned in the garment of salvation. And when I kindle the fire in the morning, I said, Lord, kindle a fire of your love in my heart. And when I'm sweeping the room, I pray, Lord, may my heart be swept from all of its uncleanness. As I make breakfast for my children, I pray, Lord, feed me with the living bread. You can see where it's going. Our life can be one of continuous prayer before the Lord. At every time and at every opportunity, turning our attention toward God, speaking to him, praying to him. The place doesn't matter. Our posture doesn't matter. We can pray in private. We can pray in public. We can pray out loud with our voices, or we can pray with whispers. Other times you might pray in silence and the words are found only in your heart. You can set aside specific times for prayer, and other times it can be spontaneous, just as you're going about your business. You can stand as you pray, or kneel, or lie down, it doesn't matter. You can pray while you walk, while you drive, while you rest. You can pray at home, you can pray at church, you can pray at work, you can pray on vacation. You can pray with your hands up and your head down, or your heads up and your hands down. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But we are to pray always. We are to seek every opportunity to pray. Pray always with all prayer. Now you'll notice all prayer and supplication is to be done in the Spirit. So we are to pray thirdly in the Spirit. What does that mean? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, let me just clarify firstly what it doesn't mean. Praying in the Spirit does not refer to praying in tongues or praying emotionally. The early church experienced the gift of speaking and praying in tongues. And there's great debate whether that gift is still given. I'm convinced that most of what goes on today under the name of speaking in tongues is not what the Bible is talking about at all. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, when we look at the scriptures, genuine speaking or praying in tongues is to speak or to pray in a translatable foreign language, not to pray in some nonsense syllables and sounds and grunts and groanings. It's not what it's about at all. And by that very criteria, that eliminates most of what's claimed to be speaking in tongues today. So what is Paul talking about praying in the Spirit? If it's not this mystical praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit is to pray in dependence upon God's Spirit and in accordance with God's Word. Paul says that our praying should be done in the Spirit. Now you'll remember as we've been making our way through the book of Ephesians that our whole life is to be lived in the Spirit. Our whole life. We walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. And we are to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God controls our lives, He reveals His control of our lives by producing His fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And when we offer our prayer and make supplication in the Spirit, we make His control of our prayer life evident as well. We're praying in the Spirit. That means we will pray, as what the scriptures say, in the name of Jesus. John 14 and verse 13. The Lord commanded us to pray. And He said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. It doesn't mean that we add a little magical phrase at the end in Jesus' name to our prayers and that somehow grants us what we've asked for. To pray in Jesus' name means we were praying for the things that He would ask for. We were praying for the things that would bring glory to the name of the Father. It means that we're praying according to the will of God, according to His nature. The things that we read in our Bibles about God, what He has said about Himself, the things that He likes, the things that He dislikes. In other words, we are allowing the Word of God to shape our prayers so that we're praying, literally, God's words back to Him again. It means that we're praying in cooperation with the Spirit of God that now lives within our hearts. Here's what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." That's what it means to pray in the Spirit, to pray according to the will of God. And God's Spirit that dwells within us will guide us in our praying. He'll prompt us about things to pray for, things that will bring glory to the Father. And so all true prayer begins with God. It's the Spirit of God who knows what the Father wants, And he moves us to pray about those things, and he helps us by conforming our thoughts and our prayers to the will of God. The Father then hears that prayer that has been shaped by the Holy Spirit, that has been offered by faith due to our relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because that prayer honors him and is prayed according to his will, he hears it and he answers it. Prayer is quite circular, really. It begins with God and then it returns again to God. And when we're thinking of prayer, we should remember that prayer does not change God. It changes us. It conforms us to God's ways and God's will and God's word. That's the purpose of true prayer. It doesn't alter the plan of God, but it does change the person who prays. That's why we pray in submission, not my will, but thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven, as our Savior said. So praying in the Spirit is praying about the things that the Lord impresses upon our heart that are there to bring glory and honor to the name of our Savior. So praying with all prayer and supplication, praying always or at all times, praying in the Spirit. You notice also the next all, praying with all perseverance, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Let's break that down a little bit. What does it mean, watching thereunto with all perseverance? First of all, be alert. Watching thereunto. It's a military term that Paul is using to get his point across. We've just been talking about the soldier who's clothed with the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit and all of the parts of the armor. And now he uses a military term, watching thereunto. Be alert. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes upon the prize. Look out for one another. The soldier has to stay alert at his post because his friends, his comrades, are depending upon him. It's a matter of life and death. You're a sentry that's set upon your guard. You're in the front line of spiritual combat and you're watching thereunto. You're watching not only for yourself, but you're watching for those around you. The Lord Jesus told his disciples when he went into the garden to pray, he says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. That ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you know what happened? They went to sleep. They didn't watch and pray. That's what we're told to do here. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Now, before we condemn the disciples too quickly, we have to confess maybe we've done the same. We haven't been watching and praying. The Lord is saying to us, be alert. You're a sentry on duty. You're watching for signs of infiltration by the enemy. And when you see him, get immediately to prayer. Be on your guard. Do you see a fellow Christian that's suffering? Pray for them. Pray for them. Do you see someone who's discouraged? Pray that God will come alongside them and encourage them once again. Maybe you've got friends, a husband and wife, and they're having conflict in the home. Be watchful thereunto and pray. Pray for them. You hear members of the body of Christ that are sick. Pray for them. You hear conflict somewhere. Pray for them. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Be alert to things you can be praying for. With all perseverance. I think this is one of the aspects that we find most difficult about praying. Perseverance. It's very easy to get distracted when you pray. Just as you bow your head, telephone rings, or a message beeps, or something distracts you, or you remember that you've other things that you need to do, or you've put something in the oven and you've forgotten about it, or a thousand other things come crowding into your mind, which makes praying with perseverance to keep on praying more difficult. It seems as soon as we bow our heads to pray that Satan unloads upon us a whole host of distractions. Or maybe you decide to spend some time in prayer and you begin to pray, and you pray for yourself, and you pray for your family, and you pray for your friends, and you pray for your church, and then you pray for all the missionaries that you know, and then you pray for all the missionaries that are in the world, and then you pray for every country in the world and every person in every country, and you name them all by name, and you look up and you've been praying for 4 minutes. How do we persevere? The Lord Jesus told a parable of a widow who kept pestering a whole hard, cold-hearted judge until he finally just got tired of her and relented and said, "I'll give you what you want just to get you off my back." And the Lord Jesus assures us that our Heavenly Father is not like that. He's not uncaring, and he's not unrighteous, and he's willing to bring about justice speedily for those who call upon him. But the point of his prayer, of the parable, was that to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't give up simply because you didn't get the answer the first time around. Your request wasn't granted immediately. Keep on praying. Keep waiting upon the Lord. We talked about this subject a few weeks back in our Friday morning Bible study. How to pray. What do we do? Paul says, pray with perseverance. Pray with perseverance. And remember that when it comes to the promises of God and his promise to act speedily, we have to remember that it's in God's time and not our time. I can't give you a hard and fast rule as to when to keep on praying and when to conclude that God is saying no. I don't think there's a simple answer to that question. I can think of some people that I've been praying for over 35 years. And I can think of others that I've taken off my prayer list after praying for them with no visible results. God brings them to mind. I'll pray for them again, but maybe not in the regular way that I did previously. Why do we stop praying? It's not because we doubt God's ability to answer. It's just sometimes we have to leave matters in the hands of God and his sovereign will, and to know that his ways are not always our ways and his thoughts are not as our thoughts. And sometimes we have to leave matters with God. But we are to pray, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Be alert and keep on praying. Then finally, we are told at the end of the verse, we are to pray with all supplication for all saints. For all saints. It means we need to pull ourselves out of the rut that we get into when we're praying. Where we pray for myself, my wife, my son, my daughter, us four and no more. Amen. Pray for all the saints. It's right and it's proper to pray for your immediate family, but you haven't exhausted the power of prayer if you simply stop there. If you pray for your friends, that's good. If you pray for your church, that's good. If you pray for your minister and your missionaries that you know and love, that's even better. If you pray for other churches and other areas, that's wonderful. If you pray for God's work that's been carried out in other countries and your heart has been stretched to new horizons, that's better still. We ought to think of our prayers as in terms of concentric circles. You think of the pebble that's thrown into the pond and the ripples flow outward. Naturally, we start with those closest to our heart and we move outward from there. In every outward circle, we find ourselves moving further away from ourselves, closer to the heart of God. We were told that God so loved the world. So how wide are our prayers? How broad are our concerns? When we pray, do we simply pray for ourselves, or do we pray for the people of God around the world? Do we pray for the lost that are yet to be reached? Let me give you some that you should be praying for when we're praying for all saints. Well, pray for those believers that you know and love, because they're your fellow soldiers in the Lord. That's the imagery that Paul is using here, the soldier. We're all part of the same body of Christ. And it ought to be that when one member hurts, then the whole body hurts with. So we're praying for one another. And while we're in the midst of the battle, we pray for them. And we love them, and we care for them. And when one goes down wounded, we don't leave them for the enemy. We gather them up and we get helped. We pray for our fellow soldiers. We want to pray for those that are on the front line in gospel ministry. You notice that Paul asks the very next verse, pray for me. Pray for me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He's praying that God would give him further opportunities to proclaim Christ with boldness. Every Christian is in the ministry. We may not all have a pulpit to preach from, or foreign fields to go to, but we're all in the work of God. We all have something to do. Pray for those that are on the front line. Satan knows if he can bring down a missionary or a minister that he scores big time. Paul says, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, to share the message of Christ far and wide. Paul's praying for boldness. You might think that's a strange thing for Paul to pray for. Was he not already a bold preacher? Do we not already get the impression as you go through the book of Acts that Paul's not lacking in boldness? The fact is, as he writes this letter, he's in prison. And he's in prison because he had boldly proclaimed the gospel to a mob that had tried to kill him. And he's prayed for more boldness as he witnesses to the truth of the gospel. You see, Paul is about to go before Caesar. And Caesar could either acquit him or condemn him. And I suspect the temptation will be that he takes a more diplomatic route and avoid talking to Caesar about his need of repentance of his sin and to receive God's forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure there are some that have told him, and Satan has tempted him, saying, Paul, think how much more good you could do if you could just get out of prison. So rather than confronting Caesar, just play it safe and you'll have your freedom. And Paul says, pray that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Paul wanted to proclaim the gospel boldly, clearly, even to Caesar. So he asked for prayer. Pray for your ministers. Pray for the evangelists. Pray for the pastors and the Christian leaders and the Sunday school teachers and the missionaries. Pray that they might be fearless and uncompromising when it comes to the gospel. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, was once asked the secret of his great ministry, and though we could probably point to many factors, here's what he said: my people pray for me. Pray for your fellow soldiers. Pray for those that are on the front line. Pray for yourselves that you will be bold and clear in your witness for Christ. Strikes me that Paul didn't ask for prayer that he would be released from prison. He didn't ask for prayer concerning his health needs, though I'm sure he had many. He asked rather for prayer that he would boldly proclaim the gospel and not miss any opportunities. It's right and it's proper to ask and pray for our personal needs. We've been taught to do that. But if that's all we do, we're missing out on the power of God in all of our lives. Paul's passion for prayer is that he would proclaim the gospel boldly. Let me just finish by saying here this morning, the Christian life is not about simply making ourselves happy or comfortable. It's a battle, a spiritual battle with unseen forces of wickedness in high places. It's to fight for God against this wicked enemy. And in order to do that, we must be people of prayer. And if we're going to advance in this battle, we will only accomplish that upon our knees as we pray. So I want to encourage you to be a praying people. So I want to encourage you to make the Wednesday night prayer meeting part of your weekly schedule. And to realize that the getting together with God's people to pray is not something that you can afford to miss. I want to encourage you to come to the prayer meeting on a Sunday afternoon before the evening service. I want you to encourage you to pray with one another and pray for one another. Because if we're going to go forward in the things of God, it will be as we pray. We've said it before, but it bears saying once again that where there is much prayer, there will be much blessing. And where there is little prayer, there will be little blessing. And where there is no prayer, there will be no blessing. We want you to pray. We want you to gather with us as we pray. And together we'll come before the throne of God and make our wants and our petitions known. And we'll seek the Lord in the spirit of his will and know the help from on high. May the Lord help us to be a praying people. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to turn to our closing hymn, hymn 564. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength with which God supplies through his eternal Son.